do you feel like you better understand, sort of? Or, I mean, you have a, nobody understands, I don't understand this stuff, but do you have a better sort of feeling about it? I know this tape is here somewhere. No, no questions? This is great.
I wanted to confirm an impression from hearing you talk yesterday that the movement to the bayous of Louisiana was not something that happened over a period of one winter or something.
It was
a very gradual thing, and it gradually became over a period of what, 20 or 30 years, it became a focal point for Cajuns and other places to relocate there. I mean,
why are you asking me this question this early in the morning?
I don't know.
I was
trying to see if I had it right.
Where's my chart?
Right,
well, I have to write. All right. I can only explain if I write it because I can't remember these things. Okay. When you look at, here we go again, y'all. Y'all ready? No, I'm just going to this. When you look at Acadie up here, this is Maine, this is Florida, and all this stuff. See, I'm not even drawing Louisiana. See, you got to have to imagine. This is Louisiana. This was like the route. These Haiti, Martinique, the French Antilles, all right down there. Louisiana was here. In Mexico. Now, this was just, and then you have Europe, so this was all a new world. So you heard about this port here, or they heard about that port here, from the earliest possible, because New Orleans was something like this. It became around 1630. It was real early. I think the earliest one was St. Petersburg or something here. But it was pretty early. But in that time, from the dispersion to 755, you even had Acadians who moved to Louisiana earlier than that, because they heard Louisiana name from who?
Louis XIV or Cannes.
XIV. Oh. Okay, Lorraine and Queen Anne, Louisiana. Mm.
Oh.
Didn't know that, huh?
No.
It's like Virginia was named from west. Anyway, so from this time to 7 years later, in fact, 62, this was the big movement. But Acadians, like this, because they were in France, they were in England, they came up to the 1790s. They were still coming in, calling themselves Acadians. When they got there, they put down nationality, and they were all Acadians. They were a nation. They were a nation over here. And that's why when they moved to and they found out they had this place, this no man's land with all the Indians and the post of Tacapa, they continue to become a nation. And when you become a nation, you are centralized and start, so you begin to think as one. And that's why the name Acadian began to prominate among that area of Louisiana. Here we go, Louisiana. It's Lake Pontchartrain. This is the Sabine River. You know, there's old jokes about, you know, where Kunas started from, you know. So it's the old joke, what's the difference between a Kunas and a Texas and a Texan? The Sabine River, jackass and a Texan and the Sabine River or something. Let me say that one again. Oh, a Texan asked in Cajun, what's the difference between a Kunas and a jackass? And Cajun says the Sabine River.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong. One minus. All right, New Orleans. So what I'm going to do today is not going to talk too much, obviously, because I can't make too much sense. But does that help you with that idea? Now, all in this time, this is Alexandria. This is a cutoff point again. This area, when the Mississippi comes out here in New Orleans, it does take a little turn right here to Baton Rouge. This is Baton Rouge. This is, and then the old Mississippi did this. This is the Chafalaya, so this is a basin. This is Lafayette, sort of right here. All this area. And then you have bayous. Now, that's another thing about Louisiana. Those who've been there know that it's called a bayou state. But it's not all bayous. The bayous, and what is a bayou? Bayou is a slow-moving river. Bayous move both ways. Can you believe that? They move backwards and forwards, not at the same time, but they do this. Because they really
are. Are they tidal?
The only ones that are tidal, they flow into lakes. They don't flow into the Gulf. The rivers flow into the Gulf. That's why it's called a bayou. They flow into lakes. And if the lakes flood, then they go back, but they are not tidal. Neither is the basin. It's not tidal.
Wow.
All right. Okay, so let's do the colonial period. So, I have some, I don't want to do facts this morning, but anyway, to tell you about Acadie, a little bit about Acadie, I want to get into the music more. In Nova Scotia, as early as 1712, there was a church built up there in Grand Pré at L'Église de Hulliard. I think there's someone from Nova Scotia here? There was someone I met yesterday. I'm finding out exactly where this thing. Anyway, in 1712, there was a church built, and a stone carver carved out, for some reason, two violins to signify this Acadian thing. So we know there's violin music. At least they knew they had one to look at so they could carve this thing. And the kind of music they played, it's hard to say, but like I said, it was direct from France, but you also have Scots up there, so it was influenced by that, and also influenced by an Indian tribe by the name of the Mi'kmaq Indians. The priests who were there were the Jesuit priests, who, I don't know how you could say it, but who didn't intend to stifle a certain culture. The Jesuits were missionaries, but they were sort of different than other missionaries. They were more lax, and they chose to become a part of the society that was there rather than change it. So because of the Jesuits, we have a lot of the history also of what went on. And the kind of, what do you hear, have you ever heard this term? It's called coura de bois. Have you ever heard that? Coura means run, and this is woods, wood runner. And what this was a term given to most of the trappers, the French trappers, who were in the New World. And they were, I think they named Detroit, and that, I mean, they were all over here, and they went to Colorado, and they just didn't. Oh, let me tell you a little story. When we talk about this is the French side. How many of us have French backgrounds? It isn't two, three, all right. Okay, well, no offense to anybody else. But the rule of history is, when the Spaniards came to New World, they tried to kill everybody, right? They tried to kill the Aztecs. When the English came to New World, they tried to make the citizens bow down to the kings. When the French came to New World, they made love to everybody because that's... So with that idea in mind, then that's what the coureurs de bois did. They came down, and with these people, they had songs that had to do with working, sort of definitely rhythmic songs, because as you know, when you work with something, then it's got to have a rhythm, because you sort of forget what you're doing. That's sort of where we get this idea out of. Now, the structure and the poetry of the songs all refer back to France. This is, we can go back to the 1400s to like 1560, which was the end of what they call sort of like the medieval period or the court period, and sort of this period to 1575, I think is the date that I read. The music that was like we playing today, like what we people call traditional music, folk music, the ideas about that were being brought to the courts. They became stylized. They, you had people of the nobility listening to, it was like we get a job, we get to go play for president, you know, something like that. That's the deal that was going on. And it worked out real well, because all of a sudden here are the songs that are of the people, and the people are playing in the courts. Of course, they're, you know, they've changed a little bit, but this is the pattern. So it's a pattern both of the hierarchy and of what we call the peasant stock. And of course, the Acadians are not of the hierarchy, although there were some that played for courts and continued to play for courts with knowing about their last names. So, and through this we have songs about, you have pastoral songs, you have songs about love. From the Trouvères, we know they had this affinity for the Virgin Mary. It's funny, because you still find that in Cajun music now. Either you sing a song about a woman that you just love, that you honor, and that you just fall on her knees. If she looks at you, you'll die. Or she's a bitch. You know, there's like no like middle ground, you know? And it's the same way with the women singing about the men. So I'm not, you know, there are those songs too, you see. My wife lets me know about all these songs. For every song I find, she finds another one, so it's all right. So anyway, so this just gives you a little idea of what went on, the quantity, the quality of the songs. What I had today, I found this tape. I had to listen to it because it's been so long. Let me put this thing up here. This tape I did. National Historical Society, I call it, the National Colonial Society. And they wanted to, or me to give a talk about the colonization of Louisiana. You know, and to play some music from that period. Well, I totally. RCA wasn't invented yet, so how am I going to get music for this thing? How do you know?
Okay. Rewind. Is this upside down?
Need to rewind it?
Yeah, rewind it.
So what this is my version of this because we have no really definite proof. We have proof of the songs that's trying to find the origin of some of the songs, some of the ballads. So most of these songs are going to be ballads. And I'll stop and sort of explain in French, or attempt to explain in French. Some of these I have parallels, songs that are in France or in Canada or in Louisiana. You see the difference. One song is sort of about food.
Where's the pause?
Is that you?
No! Okay,
the first one, this song, and all these, I'll tell you, I'll try to remember where this thing comes from. There's a couple ones that I don't know. This is not anywhere I remember. The first one is from a coureur de bois. This is a guy who goes out and into the woods, into the mountains. And so these songs have this kind of rhythm. This is from, it's taken from New Brunswick, but this is this kind of song here.
C'est ce monsieur que voilà long, n'a-t-il pas bonne long? Belle attendez, j'irai vous reconduire.
He's looking forward to spring. I can understand why. All right, this is a song. These are not Indians. These are the songs that come, these are coureurs de bois. These are songs that come from that tradition that were taped in look so obscene when I start doing this kind of stuff. I come from New Brunswick. This is Nova Scotia over here. And this is Maine. And this is New Brunswick. When the Acadians were expelled, they were boarded on boats to leave from here. A lot of them went across here to New Brunswick because this was still wild territory, or went to Canada. And some of them after, I mean, it was so ridiculous. This guy Lawrence, you know, who deported the Acadians. I mean, all this was his idea. I mean, he was just fed up because he couldn't handle them. And when the English found out about it was King Charles. When the English found out about it, they said, oh, well, you can't do that, but it was too late. So anyway, he died a horrible death. So,
Michael, maybe a little government, you understand they Tour de France with these, they were fur traders, some of the most fabulous explorers in the history of the world.
Yeah.
But wasn't their living primarily by trading for the Indians and the business by making a lot? They'd go out and they'd make good relations with the Indians.
That's right. That's pretty good relations.
their job was fur trading. And I don't know how they got those furs back, but they brought them halfway across the continent.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Bailed them up and carried them on their back.
Yeah, I know, on their backs and on canoes. Almost impossible to believe.
Yeah, that's just a history just in themselves.
The furs are very popular in Europe at this time.
Oh yeah, well, I mean the skins that you have, I'm sure whether it was beaver was a big deal at that time too. Yeah.
So, sorry, when were these recordings made? Like in the
50s? Oh, I'm sorry. This was made. I really can't be too precise about that because I don't remember. I had a syllabus that I didn't bring with me. I believe there had a woman by the name of Barbeau that gave me those two. I can't remember her first name, Barbeau, B-A-R-B-E-A-U, and she works at Laval University. And she's Acadian. And she went out and she did the recordings over there, the older recordings. We have about three more from her, too.
But all of them are generally like 10 or 20 or 30 years old.
Oh, she did her recordings in the 50s, right? In the 50s
so
and 60s.
Men that are now dead,
yeah.
But not long dead.
How can you be long or short dead? You're dead. You're dead. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. That's and these things were carried on from then. Exactly.
And are there people that learn, the younger people that still know this kind of stuff, or is it only?
I suppose there are. I know some ballad singers from Canada. I know more from France, but there's very, I mean, we're in the minority. You know, as far as I like to sing ballads. I sing ballads, but I mean, I sing it for my family, and then they close the doors and they go out. You know, and but I mean, we do that because I have some aunts that used to sing to me, and they're in old folks' homes now, and kind of get together. They get all jolly when you sing these songs because this is where the two steps and the waltzes came from. As far as I'm concerned, the text of our songs. I mean, if you look at modern day. What we'd call Cajun songs. I mean, it's mostly the same themes, except for different themes. I mean, the different themes about love and marriage and drinking, et cetera, like that. A lot of the songs have been cut down from longer versions. And I'll give you, I have examples on the other side of the tape.
Right. Isn't it pretty true that in Cajun music there's no mention of a doo-doo in the songs?
Yeah.
Do you have an explanation for that?
Well, there's There are religious songs because of the Jesuit influence in Acadie. There are songs that are standard French Roman Catholic songs that you hear, like Je suis chrétien and things like that. Je suis chrétien, na 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 na. As far as the secular part, it was just like what was going on in France here. You had the court, and you had a religious. I guess you had a religious. It depends on who was king. Well, you had to admire to somebody. And then you had the secular. It's just like Gregorian chants, which was religious, and then you had the secular version of that because all this melismatic music that went along with it. The non-mention of the deity, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, if you can... I found a ballad, I think I have a ballad on here, in fact, that has that. It was this song about partridge. Song about a partridge, you know, it's not the 12 Days of Christmas, but the song's about a partridge. And in it, it sort of relates the bird to marriage. And in the French version, it says, oh no, you know, here we go, I'm going to get married, my life is over. You know, you've seen that, here we go, flowers died and all this stuff. And in the Cajun version that was found in Louisiana, he says, will le bon Dieu nous bénisse? So will God bless me? There's another ballad. I mean, these are isolated points. I mean, you're right at what you're saying. There's another ballad I think I have on in here, too. I hope I do. It's called La Fille de 14 ans, which means the girl of 14. And it's that old story. It probably goes back to, it goes back to Europe, but it's about this girl who wants to marry a soldier, and a father doesn't want her to marry a soldier, so the father puts the girl in the convent. And before he puts her in the convent, she wants to thank the gods about having fallen in love. It's not bon Dieu, but les dieux, you know, so which is interesting. There are some songs that are written like that, but for the most part, when you deal with drinking songs, you kind of forget the God region. But I mean, those are modern dance songs. You know, I mean, unless you have religious Cajun music, I mean, you have, you know.
Like you said, for instance, in blues, and a lot of Cajuns, pretty blue sounding, and that, you know.
Okay.
Blues singers will say, God help me, or Lord.
Oh, all right, that's secular. Okay.
God mercy or something.
Okay.
I
understand. Well, it does, but it's very spotty. Now, okay, from the little I know about blues, a lot of this happened because of the notes they sang through Protestant churches. The Cadians were predominantly Catholic, and you didn't find that in churches. I mean, you do now, but you sang these strict, like Lutherans, I guess, who would sing a strict book about that. It wasn't bending notes. That's the only way I can find that out. Oh, and by the way, I have songs about that because it doesn't mean they didn't think about it, because during Lent, or the season between Ash Wednesday and Easter, which was historically a time of fasting, etc., they wouldn't play instruments. They would sing these songs called jurés. It's like jury, jurés. Which they would go crazy, you know, but they wouldn't play instruments. They would just sing about this thing and develop it. It was sort of hidden, this little meaning. But I mean, like a lot of the text and a lot of the innuendos are hidden. It's not blatant, and maybe I don't know if it's suppressed in themselves or whatever. Like you said, you know, it should come out and really say thank the Lord, all that. Where does it come? Maybe it does come during Karam, what we call Lent. And so they said, well, okay, we got 40 days to sing about the Lord, and after that, you know, wait till next year, you know.
Are those songs still around?
Jurés?
Mm-hmm. Still sung?
I'm sure very infrequently, but they are, you know. In fact, Nick Spitzer did a film. Everybody has their own ways. We'll get on this tomorrow. No, but I'm going to tell you, everybody has their own ways of spelling Zydeco now. This is the new thing of folklorists, you know. Let's invent a new way to spell Zydeco. So I'll list six ways to spell it. Tracy, we're going to have to develop a new name, a new way to spell Zydeco. S-I, you know, sicko or something, I don't know. But in this, he did a film a couple of years ago, not too long, actually, 82, 83. What did he call it? Zordico, Z-O-R-D-O-C-O. And in it, he would really wanted to find these jurés because, it was that part. So he did find two guys to do it, but they sang it in English. And we know about this because of Alan Lomax, who I will get on to later, who really did a lot of work. Let me play a little bit more of this. That's a good question, though. Please don't ask. Did I sort of answer it? Okay, that's just filling. This is a song about marriage now, or thinking about marriage.
Mais il voulait bien faire des noces, mais il n'avait pas de quoi manger. Aperçoit venir un gros renard, trois cordes l'or dessus son corps.
From what I understand, but even if we don't have enough to eat and drink, my love will keep you warm. But using poetic licenses, but.
Mais pour Dieu, Lord, nous en avons, mais c'est du pain que nous manquons. Aperçois venir un gros lapin avec un de pain dessus ses reins. Lisons nos lames sur l'huile de ton père William Noro.
C'est la caille et la perdrix qui se marient au oui lundi. C'est la caille et la perdrix qui se marient au oui lundi. Du monde nous avons assez, c'est du vin que nous manquera. Le 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 le, bel oiseau de rien de plus beau. Participe un souris de sur son dos pour t'embarrer. Participe un souris de sur son dos pour t'embarrer. Du monde et du vin nous avons tassé. C'est la viande qui nous manquera. Le 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 le.
This is a little ditty song talking about mice, and then he gets into a rat who plays fiddle. Says, if you don't have any food or don't have any bread, it doesn't matter because we have enough wine. It's an old French song.
Participe, yeah, found in Louisiana. Un corbigeau de sur ton dos pour un gigot. Participe, un corbigeau de sur son dos pour un gigot. Du monde et du vin et de la viande nous avons tassé. C'est du pain qui nous manquera. Le 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 le. Bel oiseau, d'a rien de plus beau. Participe, un pigeon dans son bec pour un pain long. Participe un pigeon dans son bec pour un pain long. Du monde, la viande et du pain, nous l'avons tassé. C'est la musique qui nous manquera. Le 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 le. Bel oiseau d'a rien de plus beau. Participe un gros rat sur son bras pour un violon. Participe un gros rat sur son bras pour un violon. Le gros chat est au grigné, miam miam miaou, miam miam miaou. C'est pas mon violon que je regretterai, mais c'est mes os qui vont crâler. Le 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 le, bel oiseau n'a rien de plus beau.
He was giving personification to animals, birds. The last one was a rat who played a violin, and they had a cat who wanted to eat him up, and all those kinds of little ditties.
Got the cat.
Got the cat.
All right.
Good. This one's called La Fille de 14 ans. This is the girl of 14. This is this was taped in Louisiana by a folklorist in the 50s. The name will come to me, but this is on a record. This is on a this comes from it's a folkways record. It's called Folk Songs of Louisiana or something like that in the 50s. And it's a ballad, and that's the ballad I was telling you about, explaining about a girl who's 15, and the father puts her in a convent, and her lover goes to war, and when the lover comes back, guess what? She died. You know, these are happy songs, you know. This one.
Yeah.
Then we had the one about the cat eating the rat before there. You know, you wonder why you don't mention this.
Voilà, grand Dieu, c'est une belle brune. Un jour, elle dit à son papa, papa, je veux me marier. Taise-toi, fille jeunesse, t'as pas encore 15 ans, et l'avait plus qu'un seul petit frère. Pour la reconsoler de nuit et jour. Reconsole-toi, ma
first you have the woman talking, and then you have the woman, woman asking her father, say, I really want to marry, and the father says, to have somebody to counsel me to love me. And he says, oh, don't worry about it. You go to a convent, they'll love you over there. Merci bon Dieu. Je prie les bon Dieu. That's what he's talking about.
Bon galant, les partis en guerre.
He just went to war.
Il s'est battu quatre ans de temps.
He fought for 4 years.
Quand il est revenu de sa révolte.
When he came back from the revolt.
Trois horlogers de chez son père.
He went directly to a father's house. Oh, that's it. That's not the end of the song. I guess I just didn't cut it out. So what happens? He goes and knocks on the door and he says, well, I'd like to see her now. He says, sorry, you can see her, but she's in the ground. She's been dead for 3 days. Oh. And so he says, good night, little black eyes. I'll wear a black crepe cape for the rest of my days or something.
What war was it?
Who knows?
So many.
That's amazing. That's what you see. That's how old it is. Nobody knows. I'm sure it's a rift of something in France. But then these people would probably relate to it as something is something real closer to them. It wasn't an American war or anything like that.
You were talking about the Creole operas in the early 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Yesterday, and I wondered if any of these folk themes or melodies had crept into those things.
Funny you should mention that. What I could find, and I think I have one on the other side of this tape, or maybe a little bit of a song here, are references to what we term now as classical songs. One that really sticks out in my mind is by a composer called Fernando Sor, who played guitar. He was a Spanish composer in the mid-1800s. And one of, does anybody play classical guitar here? Are you anybody familiar with this? He composed a piece, many pieces, but one particular one, that it was called Variations of Mozart's Magic Flute. And the song has a striking similarity to one of the best known Cajun folk songs by the name of J'ai passé devant la porte. Another song I have on the other side, or I don't know if we get to it today, but another side, it has a leaning towards Kalinda. I'm not that familiar with the works of these Creole musicians. Not like Gottschalk. Everybody knows about Gottschalk, right? No? Gottschalk was a Creole musician, but he was a white musician, sort of like the... I'm not going to use that term. Y'all shoot me. But anyway, it's like the Liberace of New Orleans in the 1800s, you know? And he wrote, like, he thought it was really quaint that these slaves would go to this the Congo Square and play their little songs, so he wanted to, you know, play them on the white keys. All the songs are written in sharps, by the way. I always wondered about that. Anyway, the ones that have Congo Square. He's one guy to look up. Some of the stuff he did was pretty good. He wrote a song called Banjo Man, which was a banji. I don't know how they spelled it in those days. They called it different things. But he did write a song called that, and Congo Square. But I'm not really sure. I have a feeling that it's lent itself to it, but I don't have any direct, you know, proof that it did. Speculation. It said that, I mean, from a... looking now, we're talking about folk music, but we really can't dismiss what happened to, and I guess I should talk about that. Well, this is really getting off the subject, but to answer your question, we can't dismiss the fact that what we call now jazz has such a great influence, not only in the world, but on Louisiana music and all kinds of music. When I was talking about the strata, and this is what this has your Creole, and then white, and then this was the strata, and then you had different variations of this Creole in the middle, let's say, as being part of it all, and you'd, and up here you have blacks, but there was free men of color here, free men from muck. And over here, you'd have, you know, the aristocracy or the politicians. I mean, this was the sort of strata that would go like this, and this would be the crossover with the mulats, or you mulattas, I believe it's spelled, or octoroons. Now, this guy by the name of Ferdinand Lamont, who is?
Who is what?
Jelly Roll Morton.
Oh,
yeah. plus two. no, you got a plus one, too. You over here, too. All right. So in other words, he was coming from Creole lineage. I think the opera a lot, Travolta or something like that was called that. And he, when Alan Lomax recorded him for the Library of Congress, he played this song and he jazzed it up or rocked it up. So that shows where that was going at that time. And his music came from, you know, the 1800s, stuff that you heard, to the early 1900s. That's that lineage over here. It kind of went this way. Now, and this way, they said, with more black, on, then you get the blues. Or what they termed as the blues now. These not terms, I mean, they were not there, so you play the blues, but more, you see, then you'd have lower black mulattoes, then you'd have black right here who were slaves. See, like some these Creoles over here were both, let's say these were the workers. Or these were the workers. They said these were black workers. They never, I mean, they didn't work in the field. They were treated as people. It was, and these were free men of color. So it was sometimes hard. People could sneak in and out of these places, of balls, of parties or something like that, and go unknown. So you had all this crossover happening here. But what they said about what happened to where jazz come from or blues come from, it came from all this interaction of all these people. And the more uptown Creoles, Jelly Roll Morton, formed jazz from high in the strata of being black or of color, to use that old term. And the blues came more from plantation workers or field workers. So it was not cruder, but not as refined. But still in all, you hear a lot interchange between those two. And this is only in New Orleans. And a lot of people moved to the Southwest prairies during that time also. So we have that's where we get the blues. And we'll talk about Amadé Ardoin, who was one of the first recording artists, and different people. Does that sort of answer it, Michael?
Yeah. New Orleans at that time was a cultural center. And, mm-hmm. and Acadiana was a...
non-existent.
It
was no man's list.
Backwoods, very isolated agricultural.
Exactly.
Culture. How much?
No. Wait. Okay.
Isolation.
Wait. All right. Okay. Good. I'm glad you. I like the way you phrase things. Tomorrow, this is your class. Where's my map again? God, I have to draw it again. Here we go.
Next year we got a room that's got blackboards all the way around.
This one's better. All right, here we go. This is New Orleans, right here. This is Mississippi. This is the Chaffalaya. This is Posta Atakapa, which is St. Martinsville now. And these are all kind of tributaries. This is all marsh. From the 1800s, 1830 till the fire, I believe, in the latter part of the century, in the 1890s or 1910. This was the center. That's where the Acadians went. This is where Evangeline Dolores del Rio sat on the banks and waited for Gabriel. Well, this is the story, you know. Y'all familiar with the story? It's a really beautiful story that Longfellow wrote. You know that he never even came to Louisiana? And the guy who told him this thing, they went to school at Harvard together, this guy by the name of Judge Felix Voorhees. He said, oh, he learned this story from his grandmother, and you know, this was the fact of Gabriel, and he called it someone else. And he told it to Hawthorne, and Hawthorne to Longfellow, and Longfellow wrote a really beautiful, it's a really touching poem. But to come to find out, when Voorhees died, they said, well, you know, they looked when he was born, and they found out his grandmother died 20 years before he was born. So, I mean, it's just, anyway, it tells a real good story. And part of that, when people would come into this, this is on the Bayou Teche. We'll have to do that song. This is called, they have a waltz called Valse de Bayou Teche. This was, St. Martinsville was called Le Petit Paris. Believe it or not. Because they had opera in the center, because he had Creoles, you had aristocratic Creoles, and you also, because that is the one parish that you have the Creole language that comes from the south, I mean from the islands. And so this was from this time, so this was pretty, I mean you have mansions over there, some. Now this is, when you talk about the Acadians, unless they'd marry into a family like that, the Acadians would still have that frugal kind of existence of what they, even when the Creole planters wanted them to plant this a big pasture and they wouldn't want to pasture, they had their little lot. So if they were satisfied to have lands, and they were all given land grants and called arpents, and what these things went, they kind of went like this, you know, from the bayous and stuff like that, and then gradually when they got out here, they became squares and stuff like that. So as far as the fluency, there was some affluency right there. There was some affluency in Lafayette. Earlier towns, and even Eunice, I don't believe, became a town, a city, until after 1900. 1911 is, I think, what they have on the depot. So never, because this is what, remember, Scott? It's where the West begins. So all this area, I mean, this is also bayou area. This is the Teche that flows through here. All this was river work. Lafayette is the Vermilion Bayou. And then you have everything around here. Then you have Donaldsonville on this side, you know, it goes over here. This is Basin. This is really no man's land. And you know, the Mississippi is right here, and this is Baton Rouge. And there wasn't a bridge across there until late 1922, 1923.
That's a major water body, too. If they were,
it doesn't look like it does in Minnesota. I saw that. It's not that, you know, major.
Well, they had to be isolated in a sense then from New Orleans.
But you could get there. And you see, this is Mississippi. And through Mississippi, Biloxi was a big port too, sometimes easy, because here you have Lake Pontchartrain come here. And I've read details of trips that you've gone to New Orleans, gone down the bayous here, come up, gone down the Chaffalar, and come up again. They'd have steamboats that go through these bayous to get to St. Martinsville. Also, later than that, up here you have Shreveport, Captain Shreve, that had a big a river that flowed through here. They could get the Red River that's supposed to have done that, or probably go into Sabine, who comes out on this side. What else? Even as far as Washington. This is Lafayette. This is Opelousas. This is that post I was talking about. Right above here, they have Washington, Louisiana, which is a beautiful town. If you ever had a chance to visit it, it's like it's sort of the state of. I don't know how to really put it. Most of the homes were built in the 1700s or 1800s, and they're big houses. They're not plantation houses, but you know, they had big families and things like that. And this is where they used to turn around. The boats used to turn around to come back to all this.
What's the name
of that? Washington, Louisiana.
What bayou water is that?
That's Bayou Cotable. Cotable. Like Cotable worms?
Mm-hmm.
Fishing? You know about that. There's a song called Cotable, too. Washington, Louisiana. That's where it's the Cajun joke. Where are you going? Washington? Yeah, Washington, E.C.
Yeah.
Not D.C., right? Okay, any. Does that sort of?
Yeah.
Sort of? Okay, let's see what else we got. Any other questions? Let's see how we're doing for time. Oh, there's the time. Oh, we got time. All right. I forgot to ask Hazel about these people. This is an album I got that was recorded by Lomax again, Alan Lomax. This drum and fife family from Como, Mississippi. Do you remember?
I've never seen them, yeah.
Their name is Omar. And the nicest people, really dark people. And I was asking him where, you know, if they remember where they came from. They came, all they said was the Delta. And this is sort of, we're getting out what kind of music was probably the first to imagine, in my mind, to make this sort of concrete, the kind of music that these people who were termed slaves play. Because in New Orleans, going back when the slaves there, like I said, from this Dahomey tribe, they had a place called Congo Square, which is now, it's where the first jazz festival took place. It's also now called Louis Armstrong Park. It's on Basin Street. But it was this area, I mean, it wasn't there, but it was this area where on Sundays, they would let slaves or free men of color go there and do their dances, their rituals. And they got, and you know, some of the folks said, well, they're too racy, because they would get down, they would boogie, you know? And they would have drums, and it was one of the few places in the states, the southern part of the states, or that would allow their slaves or their workers to congregate and play drums, because as everybody knows, everybody could talk. They were talking drums. They could communicate, and that was one of the things that the whites here decided to do. They wanted to break up the entire black society. Well, here they did. They didn't, and they allowed this to go on. And that's why I'm saying even this guy Gottschalk in the 1850s and before was composing classical music through this music. So obviously they knew this music was worth something. This guy Omar, and I'll find out the name, makes flutes or fifes through reeds, you know, in ditches and things like that. And this is how he plays it. It's a pentatonic scale, it sounds like, for the most part. And one of his sons plays this big bass drum. And that's the sound we hear. These guys are from Mississippi. They still play, too. Want to dance to that, Millie?